Fighting escalated in the southern Iraqi city of Basra on Friday when a U.S. airstrike killed five civilians, according to Iraqi police and hospital sources. The U.S. military has claimed that four armed militants were killed in the attack. In addressing the violence in Basra, President Bush called the clashes, quote, a defining moment in the history of Iraq, as well as a necessary part of the development of a free society. As the battles continue in Basra between the Iraqi government's forces and Shiite militias affiliated with Muqtada al-Sadr, critics in the United States have taken the media to task for its coverage. The Institute for Public Accuracy's Norman Solomon recently wrote an article assessing National Public Radio's framing of the conflict. In questioning whether the Public Radio Network's acronym actually stands for National Pentagon Radio, Solomon criticized a reporter's assertion that the Basra operations needed to happen, as well as the prevalence of retired generals as commentators on its shows. Meanwhile, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has also taken NPR to task, claiming that the network has underreported the number of Iraqi deaths. In reporting the low-end estimate, an NPR anchor presumably used a figure from June 2006 from a source that has nearly since doubled its estimation of civilian deaths in Iraq. My guests are Jim Narikas. He is the editor of Extra, which is the magazine published by FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Welcome to Uprising, Jim.
Thanks for having me on.
And also with us is Norman Solomon, Executive Director of the Institute for Public of the Institute for Public Accuracy. Welcome, Norman.
Good morning, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start, Jim, with you about the reporting of Iraqi civilian deaths. I mean, this is an issue that has been fairly contested. Is it 100,000? Is it 600,000? The fact is, of course, that it's a very large number. Where does NPR stand on this?
Well, there are various numbers that people talk about, and I think it's fair to look at a range of estimates because there are serious attempts to figure out how many people have died that come to different conclusions. But NPR, when they were looking back on the fifth anniversary of the war, they framed it in a way that struck us as entirely misleading and either extremely sloppy or actually deceptive. Here's a quote from Scott Simon introducing a segment. Estimates on the number of Iraqis killed range from 47,000 to 151,000, depending on the source. So they're basically saying that some people say it's as few as 47,000, other people say it's as many as 151,000, implying or pretty much saying that there aren't any credible figures that are more than that. And the fact is that I don't think any serious researcher is saying that there are 47,000. That number, the 151,000 number, seems to come from the World Health Organization report that appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine. And in that report, sort of introducing the subject, it said, estimates on the death toll in Iraq from the time of the U.S.-led invasion in March 2003 until June 2006 have ranged from 47,668 from the Iraq body count to 601,000 from a national survey. That 47,000 sounds like the 47,000 that they're using in on NPR, but they're leaving out the 601,000. And they're also using, it's very clearly indicated here that they're talking about June 2006. If you look at Iraq body count, which is a project that is counting reported civilian deaths in Western news sources, they had 47,000 in June 2006, which was at the very beginning of the height of the violence in Iraq. Their number now is, they're saying that there have been at least 82,000 reported civilian deaths in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So they are using a number that, as you say, is almost half of what their source says the current number is.
Right.
And then they're leaving out, the range of estimates to June 2006 go up to 600,000. The largest estimate that's based on serious research is now 1.2 million. From a British polling firm that polls households in Iraq.
So this is NPR. I mean, this is considered the liberal, news media, particularly on radio, if you don't count Pacifica. What does this actually say about what much of the country is hearing? I mean, if you think about the demographic that listens to NPR, definitely they are a liberal-leaning listenership, and they're hearing an estimate that is so off base. What is it doing, you think, at a time when Iraq is an important issue in an election year?
Well, it is an important issue. I think that the death toll of Iraqis is perhaps the central question in that issue. It's not a minor note. It's obviously the human toll of a war is some would say, far and away the most important factor in making a judgment about that war, and the Iraqis have obviously borne the brunt of that human toll. So to frame what that toll is in ways that are really journalistically indefensible, I don't see how you can defend the selection of these numbers as being the range of credible estimates.
Jim Narikas is my guest. He's the editor of Extra, the magazine published by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. I want to turn to Norman Solomon, executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy, whose book, War Made Easy, has a documentary based on it that listeners remember from KPFK, as well as from our fund drives. The film is, by the way, playing to select theaters around the country now. Norman, welcome to Uprising.
Thank you.
And I should say welcome back. We enjoyed very much having you on live in Los Angeles during our 3 days of coverage around Super Tuesday. Let's talk about what you have recently written regarding NPR. You've called it National Pentagon Radio, particularly around the way in which they're framing the conflict in Basra and the battle that is raging on there. Why do you call it National Pentagon Radio?
Well, there are the statistics that give empirical measure to the patterns of coverage at NPR News. And I should say that FAIR, the Media Watch Group that Jim edits the magazine Extra at, has done a series of excellent studies. If people go to FAIR.org, you can find the statistical breakdown of sources. And you find then over years and years a strong tilt towards the elite opinion, towards those in powerful positions in Washington. Interestingly, even given the supposed liberal slant of the network, year after year, more reliance on Republican sources than Democrats by a fairly wide margin, 3-2 in a study done a few years ago. And then you line that up, or you use that context for the specific instances, and one that jumped out at me is unfortunately very symptomatic, came last Thursday morning on the program Morning Edition. There was a report on the very large-scale military assault on Basra at that point, and the NPR reporter doing the conversation with the anchor at that point, Renee Montaigne, was very unequivocal from Baghdad, reporting and saying in summary of the U.S. government-backed Iraqi government attack on Basra, quote, "There was no doubt that this operation needed to happen." Well, that wasn't attributed. It was not given in any way that is a relay of anybody else's assessment. This was the voice of the journalist from Iraq saying, and again, this is the quote, "There was no doubt that this operation needed to happen." Well, I immediately thought of a statement that is actually preserved footage in the War Made Easy film from Dick Cheney, where he used the identical phrase, "There is no doubt that," and went on to say that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and so forth. And I think it's important to place NPR's reporting and its absolute promotion of such a statement as, the epitome of good journalism, that in the larger context of corporate-backed media in the United States, if you make pro-war statements, that cuts the mustard for being supposedly objective. On the other hand, if you make anti-war statements, that's seen to be unprofessional and biased.
So this reporter was basically asserting their opinion about the Iraq war being there in Iraq. What about the way in which NPR will actually promote more often the pro-war views? I mean, we think that this sort of thing happens on network television, Fox News, etc., but NPR?
Yeah, well, a lot of times what we get on NPR news, and I'm specifying here All Things Considered in Morning Edition in particular, the drive time flagship programs, is a sort of conventional media wisdom that doesn't raise eyebrows within mainstream corporate media because it blends into the scenery so much. And it doesn't seem in that context particularly like opinion because it is that conventional pseudo-wisdom, which, of course, 5.5 years ago was that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and so forth. In my article that was published last Thursday on Common Dreams and elsewhere, I cite an example of now a week ago, beginning of last week, a two-way conversation, Robert Siegel, with somebody who's appeared often as an analyst on the program, General Robert Scales, now retired from the U.S. Army. And the discourse for several minutes really was one of shared sensibilities, where General Scales, for instance, referred to Iraqi attacks on U.S. troops as quote-unquote diabolical. It's inconceivable that such a guest or the host, Robert Siegel in this case, would be part of a discourse that referred to the U.S. air war in, say, Anbar province as diabolical. And more fundamentally, the window on the world is largely tinted red, white, and blue, not only from the repeat sources who are relied on by NPR News, but also by the anchors and reporters themselves.
My guests are Norman Solomon, Executive Director of the Institute for Public Accuracy, and Jim Nurikas, Editor of Extra's Extra, which is a magazine published by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Jim, I want to turn back to you. Now, in terms of what Norman has said and even what Fair has cited regarding the Iraq civilian death counts, do you think that, like Fox News, NPR has a sort of standard that they're supposed to be following, that there's an editorial, sort of decision about which numbers to report and which not to?
Well, I think NPR, it's very easy to exaggerate the difference between NPR and standard commercial corporate media reporting. And I don't think that the people at NPR now particularly want to be different from commercial corporate media reporting. I think that they think of papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post as being the gold standard of journalism, and they're trying to do that kind of journalism on the air. And though it does receive money from the public through Congress, it also relies very heavily on corporate underwriting for its programming in a way that really calls into question the rationale for NPR. If you think that commercials don't have any, if corporate funding doesn't have any impact on the content of news programming, then why do you need a public radio apparatus in the first place?
Right.
And I think both the corporate underwriting and the money from Congress come with strings attached. I think NPR is very aware in both cases that they need to watch what they say, watch their balance. They are, if you look at NPR, they're very concerned about making sure they have the same number of Republicans, Democrats on in a typical news story. But in terms of getting perspectives that might fall outside the two-party spectrum, they do, I think, a quite poor job and are quite worried about going outside the Beltway consensus on issues like U.S. foreign policy.
Now, Jim, Fair also just recently did a report on the citations of think tanks and the statistics and reports, et cetera, right-wing versus left-wing versus centrist, so-called centrist think tanks. How does NPR fare in terms of how it reports or makes use of information from think tanks?
You know, we have not looked. We haven't broken it down by outlet in terms of the think tank survey, though it's something that we just recently talked about doing for next year. I think that my hypothesis would be that you would find that think tanks are used in a fairly standard way between, say, NPR and PBS on one hand, and the big commercial outlets like the network.
And the results broadcast. And the results of that survey showed that the right-wing think tanks were more often used, as well as centrist think tanks, than those that lean to the left.
Yeah, there very definitely is a sort of traditional center-right spectrum where you have typically in U.S. media you have the right debating the center and the left ignored, and that is why you can refer to NPR as liberal programming. It's because the left is missing from the standard media scene, and therefore with the left missing, the center plays the left.
Finally, Norman Solomon, what can listeners of NPR who want to hold their favorite radio station accountable, their local outlet as well accountable, you know, what do you recommend they do? I mean, certainly Pacifica is a little bit more accountable to listeners. We accept only listener donors, but what can listeners of NPR do if NPR is getting quite a large amount of their funding from corporations rather than listeners?
Well, frankly, and I have no sort of financial, personal, or otherwise stake in Pacifica stations such as KPFK, but frankly, why would people want to contribute to media outlets so they can be more rigorously and effectively propagandized? And as I travel around the country, I urge people to reconsider if they're sending checks to their local NPR affiliate to ask themselves, why are you doing that? And why don't you support independent, non-corporate progressive media outlets, whether it's a Pacifica affiliate or a website or anything else? And ultimately, it does come down to that if we're going to sustain what we don't believe in with our dollars, then we're absolutely going to be contributing, literally and figuratively, to the problem. And we also should make ourselves heard, talking back to our radio, so to speak, by publicly speaking up directly to and otherwise about these media outlets that are not really serving the kind of diversity that we truly need, not only in terms of race and gender, but in terms of ideology, experience, economic class, and worldview.
And also, Norman, before we end our interview, your book, War Made Easy, and the documentary based on that, War Made Easy. The documentary, as I said, is out in select theaters, but it's also out on DVD now that listeners can purchase themselves?
Yeah, it's actually been released just in the last week in what the industry calls a home video. And so even on Netflix at this point, people are watching it that way.
Mm-hmm. And this is a documentary that examines the role of the media in war and promoting war. Norman Solomon, Jim Noricas, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Norman Solomon is the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's written several books, including War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. And and Jim Noricas is the editor of Extra, which is a magazine published by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. You can read their reports online, by the way, at fair.org. That's FAIR.org. And Norman Solomon's organization, Institute for Public Accuracy, is at accuracy.org.